Hi and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bowe, and Pastor Adam Mosher continue their discussion on the formula of Concord, looking at Article 11 on God's eternal foreknowledge and election. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation, start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Osher.
All right, welcome back, guys. We are continuing our discussion on Article 11 of the Formula of Concord.
It can be Formula 11.
I did that last time too.
I mean, like when you refer to Augsburg Confession, you can say Augsburg 8. It's going to be Formula 11.
There we go.
It's just shorthand, Lutheran shorthand.
Okay.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. So we got a lot to get to here. I'm looking forward to this one here as we get into this. We're teasing out this idea of election, of God's foreknowledge, eternal foreknowledge. Let's start here. There's a distinction made here in this article between God's foreknowledge and his eternal predestination.
What we need to be clear here is for the purposes of precision, and this isn't unnecessary distinction, this isn't being too fine with it, is that there are definitions for predestination, there are definitions for foreknowledge, and there are definitions for election. Mm-hmm. And we want to be clear on all three of these. It's God's predestination is he has caused something to happen ahead of time. God's foreknowledge is he knows everything will happen. God's foreknowledge is an extension of his sovereignty, that God knows things before they happen. And then election is that particular gospel-flavored view of this, where God has chosen us in Christ before the foundations of the world to be saved, and he does that through the cross. And so, Adam, you had a place you wanted to take this conversation. We kind of got to do that.
Well, and I hate to do this on air because it's one of those things, if you're just hearing this as you're driving down the road, it can cause, I don't want to cause doubt or cast aspersions on this. The formula seems to be distinct here in saying predestined, just what you just described, right? The two definitions of foreknowledge and election. Foreknowledge is this idea of God knows what's happening beforehand, and predestining is his causing to have that happen. But as I have studied this and have taught the book of Romans, for instance, we mentioned Romans 8 last episode, this idea of knowledge of God is one that is referencing a person, not a thing. It's not saying God knows what or about something. He says he knows someone, those whom he foreknew.
Yep.
And that idea of the knowledge of God, I think, can rightly be described in terms of salvation language, that God's knowledge is putting the predestination of God, the predestination aspect, the foreknowledge of God, all of this ties into that salvation rests squarely on God's shoulders, that it's him doing everything, that his knowledge of you in an intimate way, and I don't mean to be weird about that, but that's the Hebrew word, I think it's yada, is this idea of an intimate knowledge. And it's why God can say things like in Amos, I knew you, speaking to Israel, over all of the nations of the earth. He knows all about the other nations of the earth. He knows, can tell you all of the details about their life and their existence and their civilizations and everything else. But he says, there's one that I knew, and it's an intimate knowledge of God. Now, the thing, and this is where this is going to sound a little bit contrary maybe to the formula. However, the thing that it has to come back to goes back to Ephesians 1, where this foreknowledge, this predestination came beforehand, before the foundation of the world, but it comes specifically in Christ. And this is why we can say that the cross is absolutely still necessary. As Jason has said in other contexts and on air and off, it's God's plan A. Yep. The cross is God's plan A. But this knowledge of God knows us through the finished work of Jesus. Like that the application of that to us for our salvation is completely on God's, squarely on his shoulders alone. It's not our faith. It's not that God knew that we would eventually believe, because that makes faith bigger than God, and it's not, right? It's the means that God uses to apprehend the gift, right? But that faith is the thing that he gives us too. It's not faith is a gift, not something that we muster up, not an intellectual assent, as you said last
time. Ephesians 2:8-9 is yeah. what goes out. So here, this is exactly the tension that we were trying to describe in the last episode that we really want to pursue. We are forbidden in Scripture from probing and humanizing the secret knowledge of God. Okay, God needs to be God, and we're not God. A God that you can understand 100% of the time is not God, that's you. Okay?
Yeah.
But the tension with that reality is that we must go as far as Scripture allows us to go in our understanding and appreciation of what the gospel is for the purpose of our praise and worship of God and for the purpose of the proclamation of the gospel. Both of those are true at the same time. You can't probe the secret depths of God because you're not God, but you are required to say what Scripture says as God reveals himself to us through the Word. And so our starting point for this, we've kind of all agreed off air, is that where we're going is Ephesians 1:4. And Brett, you've got that for us.
Yeah. You want me to read it right now?
Yeah. Go for it.
All right. Ephesians 1:4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. I suppose next verse 2, in love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will.
Okay, and so this is our starting point, is that the gospel is plan A. That Jesus Christ on the cross in our place for the forgiveness of sins was in God's mind and heart from before time began. And so you've got the pre-existence of the Son, you've got the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit existing in fellowship and in unity for time eternal and in fact outside of time. So God exists before time, outside of time, which, by the way, philosophically, and this is getting a little bit far afield, but I will rope this back in a second. The only reason anyone is capable of saying God is love is if the Trinity is eternal. Because God can't be love if he doesn't have an object for his love. Mm-hmm. And that's why you have the one God, three persons, one God distinction. Okay, we've got that. So what Ephesians tells us, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is God chose us in Christ from before the foundations of the world. This is a definitive starting point. It was in God's mind and heart from the beginning of time to save humanity through Christ by the cross. And this is what you're getting after, mm-hmm. is that God's foreknowledge of us comes through the cross, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. I want to be clear on that, and I don't want to make any indication or give an indication that that's not the case. It's just the way that that knowledge is used, I think it's a little richer than the first introduction of that phrase.
And so what we're saying, again, doing our best, and this is the it's kind of like if you over-explain the Trinity, you end up as a heretic.
Yeah,
if you over-explain this,
yeah.
you end up in a bad place, and we are doing our best not to get there. So where the Lutherans go on this in Article 11 now, again, is we make a distinction between predestination, foreknowledge, and election, that there is a fine sort of clarity that needs to happen here. Mm-hmm. The first move of the Lutherans is to distinguish between predestination and foreknowledge. And so what they say is God knows all things before they happen. And for those of you listening and trying to wrap your brains around this along with us, here's a list of references for you to check out. Daniel 2:28, Psalm 139:16, Isaiah 37:28, Matthew 10:29 through 30. These are verses that cover God knows everything that is going to happen before it happens because he's God. And people, well, how? Because he's God. We stop there. God doesn't tell us how foreknowledge works. He tells us it happens. Now, where the Lutheran plants his or her foot is that God's foreknowledge extends over the godly and the wicked alike, but God's foreknowledge does not cause evil to happen. And so this would be the starting point of the Lutheran argument against double predestination, because if you go too far down that path, it makes it sound like God is the author of sin and evil, because God causes all things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where,
that's an important distinction.
And that's where our hesitation with double predestination, with limited atonement, with the reprobate, oh, nailed it right there. There we go. That's our hesitation with it, because philosophically, or, you know, on a discussion terms, you wade into those waters, and then sooner or later, did God cause evil to happen?
Then you're bound to say both ways.
You're bound to travel those tracks, and those aren't tracks we need to be on.
Mm-hmm.
And so does that help round out what your introductory thought was, Adam?
It does, yeah. And again, I think some of these are hair-splitting things that if you really dig into, we can sit and parse and argue about. But I again, just making sure that you recognize that there can be different ways of approaching this, but recognizing that it really centers on the cross.
Yeah.
That's fair.
If you read through this article, especially in the Epitome, the solid declaration is solid gold, right? The Epitome is the summary of what the Lutherans round back to after laying out the definitions of these terms is God's word points us to Christ. God's word does not point us to his predestination. And this is a distinction. Mm-hmm. God's word points us to Christ. In Christ, we see God's plan for the salvation of the whole world. And in that, that's the doctrine of election, which is why it's a comfort.
Yeah. So maybe to dumb it down a shade, to borrow from Homer Simpson.
which, by the way, Homer Simpson also told God, you're not the boss of me. So we're going to be careful with this.
Yeah, yeah.
To dumb it down a shade is to say, recognizing the cross, starting there, that Jesus died for my sins, according, you know, and that he rose again, that there is salvation there at the cross, helps me to understand, and those are the glasses through which I recognize the foreknowledge of God, that he knew me ahead of time. He knew who I was going to be. He knew not just what I would be, but he knew that I was his, and he made me his through that knowledge. Predestination, like this is before the foundation of the world. He knew exactly what was happening at the cross in Christ, right? In him, in Christ, we see all of the doctrines through that. But those two in particular, that becomes a gospel thing. If we start with the cross and recognize I am Christ's, foreknowledge, predestination, election, all the things become profoundly beautiful, profoundly comforting, and something that helps us to realize when I'm struggling maybe to think, have I believed enough?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Have I believed enough?
I was just talking to somebody yesterday about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's all these other things that I've done, but God foreknew you. But God elected you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we know this through the cross. The cross does not say, you know, what do you, what do you bring to the table? The cross says nothing about that. It says from before the foundation of the world, God knew exactly what he was fixing to do with you.
Yeah.
Right?
Is that kind of
He knew exactly the salvation that he would provide in the death and resurrection of his son.
I don't know if this is the right spot for this, but this is kind of where that idea of intuitu fidei, whatever that Latin phrase is,
fidei,
just that God has chosen
us in view of final faith.
In view of final faith, and I think that's probably where people that hold to a view of like decision theology would mix this together to come up to that solution.
And we want to resist any terminology that makes it sound as if any part of salvation is based on a quality in ourselves. And so the whole, like, God knew you would believe, and so that's why you're saved, is like, that is probing the depths of the mind of God.
Mm-hmm. It's putting your faith, your efforts, above the finished work.
It's putting
Jesus.
The cart before the horse, theologically speaking, which is at the point when we find out that God, from time eternal, decided to save humanity through Christ, what Lutherans do then is we immediately go to the gospel proclamation. And there is verse after verse after verse that talks about the beauty. I mean, what God says in Romans 10, all day long I have held up my hands to a stiff-necked and obstinate people. And you go, Matthew 11:28, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 1 Timothy 2:4, God wills that all should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Multiple places places in Ezekiel, God takes no delight in the death of the wicked. In
1 John 2:2, the Christ died for the whole world, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world.
John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Over and over and over again.
Good
and,
medley.
And what wraps it up for me is Paul's instructions in 1 Corinthians 2 to how he was doing what he was doing to the Corinthians. And ultimately he says, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Okay? The reality of the theology is there, of election, predestination, God's foreknowledge. But when it comes to the meat and potatoes of the gospel, is you point to the cross, and you let God work through that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of at the heart and soul of what the Lutherans are trying to explain here in Article 11. You know, guys.
You were saying that as though you were wanting to say more things.
No, Jason. I was ending it and trying to open it up for the next thing, you know, because we have this podcast.
Okay.
Where you talk.
well, sometimes we talk.
Yeah.
A lot of times you talk. But anyway, Brett. I chat GPT'd this podcast one time to ask, like, the breakdown of the hosts. And I said, what's the percentage of, you know, time that Jason spends talking? It's more than 50% of the time. Brett and I split the other half. So sorry, I wasn't quite ready for the cue.
Yeah, that's
Brett,
right. Yeah,
moving
the bus has backed up.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, we are. Yeah. Where should we go next? The God's, you know, thinking of predestination, election. Is there a big difference between those two words in this?
Well, predestination is God kind of laying out the script, right? You know, God causing things to happen. In predestination, all, you know, the Lutherans say this repeatedly, everything we know about predestination has to be learned through Christ. We can't travel the other direction. Mm-hmm. Right?
I don't think those two words, to answer your question, those two words, predestination and election, now we're dropping foreknowledge for a second. Predestination, election, I have always viewed them synonymous.
Sure. Interchangeable.
Am I wrong on that?
So I think Lutherans would argue that you're not, because it would be a matter of intent. Mm-hmm. I think if we travel to human definitions, that there's probably now some flux. Mm-hmm. Right, because of either viewing things through a Calvinist system or viewing things through the Arminian commitment to free will. Mm-hmm. Either of those means we have to clarify theological terms because of the flux in the traditions.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
So that's what I would argue. And for Lutherans, I think we could probably state that predestination and election are exactly the same thing.
Sure.
Because we reject that God predestines the damned.
Mm-hmm. Which keeps it, it's the, what's the principle of the simplest, you know, explanation?
Occam's razor. Who was a theologian.
Yeah, and I think Occam's razor applied to this situation is, you know, as the same thing as the most plausible, and simplest argument, at least. And that's what the Lutherans do. Yeah. And
so what? There's a statement in the Epitome where the Lutherans write, we should not reach conclusions about our election to eternal life based on human reason and God's law. And so, like, at this point in time, if your temptation is to say logically it follows, the Lutherans would be, whoa, not here. It's like Black Panther. So we don't do that here. You know, kind of a thing. It's that gif. It's like we want to pause because, again, you are invading the territory of God being God if you use human reason to explain it. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
You got to think about that. Yeah, I think that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Do you have... So one of the things, I think, with election, I think... Is your time as a difference from foreknowledge, and I would see those two more related, like I said at the beginning. But election, just in that very word, it's this idea of I was selected, I didn't self-select,
a choosing,
self-election is kind of a, I mean, it happens in certain countries of our
dictatorships.
World, yeah, it's called, yeah, but the, and you know, and countries recognize that, I guess, but to be truly recognized, to having been elected, is something from outside of you. And that idea of God electing us really puts the finished work of Jesus squarely on the pedestal. It's not our efforts, it's not our will, it's not our you know, exceptional efforts or where we're going to land when we finally die, right? It's not where we're at when that hour comes of our death. It's Jesus alone is doing the work. He is electing us. We could almost use the word select, you know, that there is that he has chosen in his own wisdom and in his own, you know, foreknowledge, right? He has chosen us for himself. And I think that's the biggest thing about this that we find. And the reason this sounds a little polemic in this whole argument has been is because we are so bent on wanting to take some responsibility for our salvation. I've had people who have been teachers of mine say that very thing to me. Well, don't you want to have some stake in your salvation?
Got to have skin in the game.
Got to have skin in the game, right? You know, God puts you on a rock, but it's your job to stay there. Those kinds of things. It's like this election of God, there's a security and there's a peace. And when you are not, when you are operating, I think this is true of any of us in our callings, wherever those are, if we are operating from the perspective of I am completely elected by God, I am selection gets a little iffy, but let's use the word election. I am elected by God as his child, that he has chosen me before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1. I can do my callings in a new way. I can exercise them in a brand new way, not having to please God, but from the freedom of knowing that I am entirely blessed and secure. That is a gospel promise. That is why God includes these phrases in there, is to help us to realize that, hey, listen, as much as you are going to fail, as much as you're going to come short, and you will and you are, that's why the cross had to happen in the first place. You are mine. I have chosen you. I have known you, and I would argue in an intimate sense, from the foundation of the world. And that is a profound blessing to the troubled conscience.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Please join us next week as Pastor Jason, Pastor Brett, and Pastor Adam continue their discussion on Article 11 of the Formula of Concord. If you would like more information about the Bible School or the seminary, please visit our website at flbc.edu. God bless you and have a great week.